Another principle of delegation is authority and responsibility should commensurate with each other. So another principle of delegation is that authority and responsibility should go usually hand in hand. If they don't go in hand, then the subordinate wouldn't know what is his task, why he has to perform this activity. So a subordinate can discharge his duties effectively and efficiently if there is proper delegation of authority. Otherwise, a subordinate cannot succeed in accomplishing the assigned tasks. So if the tasks is supposed to be performed and if there is no proper delegation of authority, superior, if not given proper authority to the subordinate, then subordinate would be in a confusion state of mind that what work has been given to me and what task I am supposed to do, they both aren't matching. And when they both aren't matching, what am I supposed to do? That is why it says that authority and responsibility should go both hand in hand. That is why authority without responsibility will make subordinates a careless person. So if he is authorized but is not responsible, he'll be careless. He would suggest or he would think that if I don't give the output, I am not responsible. So might as well, why I should think about taking as a pain. Likewise, responsibility without authority will make the subordinate an inefficient person. So if he is responsible but he is not authorized, again it is a big challenge. So first, if he is authorized but not responsible. Second is if he is responsible but not authorized. In both the scenarios, the output what is required wouldn't be able to match, because in both the scenarios, first scenario, that is authority without responsibility, make the subordinate careless, and if he is responsible and not authorized, then he works as an inefficient person. Therefore, there should be proper balance between authority and responsibility. If these both goes hand in hand, then only the output would be given. That is why we say that authority and responsibility should commensurate each other in the dual possible manner. So these are few principles of delegation. Another principle of delegation is unity of command. It is very important in any organization that there should be unity of command. The information, the task, the work given should be uniform. It should not change from superiors to superiors. Subordinate should get the same command from all the superiors, what is he supposed to do. So the principle of unity of command insists that a subordinate should get instructions from only one superior. There shouldn't be 3-4 superior giving instruction to one subordinate. In other words, the subordinate should be assigned duties and responsibilities only by one superior. This will give the output. He will be answerable and he will be responsible also to that subordinate. And he is accountable only to the concerned superior. So superior subordinate relationship needs to be having one-on-one basis only. If there are two bosses to whom one subordinate is responding or replying, in that kind of scenario, what happens is very crucial factor wherein the subordinate plays with both the superiors. Okay, sometimes subordinate tells to that superior that is what superior number one has told me to do, and when he goes to superior one, tells him that superior two has asked me to do, and there is a big miscommunication or gap between both the superiors, which make the business in a more difficult manner. So superior subordinate relation should be clearly and crystally defined. If a subordinate gets the orders, instructions and directions from more than one superior, it will create uncertainty and confusion in the organization. In such a situation, the subordinate will find it very difficult to determine whose instructions, orders or directions he should carry out first. So it usually happens in scenarios where there are 2-3 bosses in the company or 2-3 superiors to whom one subordinate is responding. He will be in a confused state of mind that whose orders he is supposed to follow, whose information he is supposed to give the output first. And that will basically create a scenario where subordinates, at times if he is smart, he will be able to play with the bosses and he will not be able to give the output as per the requirement. So that is where unity of command plays a very important principle of delegation. Next principle of delegation is limitations of authority. A person knows well that a person having authority alone can delegate the authority properly. Therefore, should be written manuals which help a person to understand the authority in right direction. This will avoid confusion regarding the delegation of authority and enable effective functioning of concerned person. One of the most important function or principle of delegation is limitation of authority, which means there should be a manual or there should be guideline what the employee is supposed to follow, what kind of tasks the employee is supposed to do based upon what output has to be given. So over there should be a written manual which the subordinates and superiors both needs to follow as far as the delegation is concerned. What responsibility is been given to the employee or the subordinate, what authority he has got when this kind of task is given, what is, so it's like a small guideline which when authority given to an subordinate, what all responsibility and what all different types of accountability, power, what he basically also achieves with that authority being given to them. So should be also be critically acclaimed or critically been noted, so that in case of controversy activities, this manual can be pulled up and seen across that what is the requirement and what exactly the task has been done. So based upon that, a proper judgment can be given that was this delegation properly defined or not. So that is why we say the definition of limitations of authority. What area the employee is limited to do this particular task? What is the area under which he has to put this particular task given to him to be performed? That is known as the next principle of delegation. From there we move on to the next lap of delegation, that is types of delegation. There are a lot of different types of delegation which the superiors give to the subordinates, in which one of the type of delegation which superior give to the subordinates are known as general delegation. General delegation means granting authority to the subordinate to perform various managerial functions and exercise control over his subordinates. So one of the general delegation is that superior will give general activities, like for example administrating the work, or the basic objectives, basic function of management is been what given the task as far as the superior giving to the subordinates is known as general delegation. So generally what all things the subordinates can do, superior gives a task that this is what you are supposed to do. Next type of delegation is known as specific delegation. For example, the personnel manager may be delegated authority for selection of personnel, training of personnel, placement of personnel and the like. So under specific delegation, there will be specific activities which would be required to be done, wherein specific activities would be like, for example, selection of personnel, training the personnel, development of personnel and many many other things which are required under the domain area of what that employee is supposed to do. That is in a specific delegation. Another type of delegation would be written delegation, wherein the power, or you can say authority, would be in written format, and if it is written format, then only he is going to give the output. So this type of delegation is made by written orders, instruction, etc. The proper usage of words is essential to this type of delegation. So whenever delegation is given on the written format, it is known as written delegation. We may have unwritten delegation which is more about on a formally word to word basis, or maybe not written as such, it is just on a formative way, just informed. So unwritten delegation means the authority is delegated based on customs, conversations or usage. Here there is no evidence about available for the future reference. So there is no proof that what has been given to the subordinates is actually what he is doing, because it was everything was verbally delegation was given. Another delegation is formal delegation. Formally duties, responsibilities, authorities, power, accountability, all these things is formally handed over to the employee by giving him a designation. That is known as formal delegation. So duties and authority are shown in the organizational structure of the enterprise. For example, production manager is assigned the responsibility and accompanying authority to maintain and increase production. So formally, if the information is given to you, in delegation is given to an employee or subordinate, then it is known as formal delegation. Like for example, marketing manager. If this person is assigned a designation as marketing manager, with that tag only, lot of delegation has been given to him that he is responsible for increasing sales in the business. He is responsible for getting more and more revenues or more and more numbers for the company. Informal delegation would be more about without getting the information from the top management, he is having an ideal role to perform. In certain cases, a person has to use the authority without getting it from the top management. The reason is that he can perform his assigned duties effectively in time. In certain scenarios, in certain companies, there are certain employees who are very charged up, who are always ready to give the output. These kind of employees wouldn't require a formatted way kind of an information. They will give the information on their own. They will give the delegation. They will take the things, they are more charged up. So they are more wanting to give the output on behalf of the company. So that is where informal delegation takes place, wherein the responsibility, authority and those things are not formally written, given by the top management. They take it on their own shoulders, get the work done in the given specific time frame, and help companies to grow with time ahead in the business. Then we also have got a delegation known as downward delegation. Downward delegation states when a superior could delegate the duties and authority to his immediate subordinate. So downward is when superior will give the task to subordinates. That becomes downward delegation. Then we have an approved delegation. Under this type of delegation, a subordinate can delegate his authority to his immediate superiors. It occurs seldom in an organization. So approved delegation is one kind of a delegation in which the subordinates would request, would not orders, subordinates would request the superior to do the task on behalf of them because of XYZ reasons. That is known as accrued delegation. And if it is downward delegation, it will go from top to bottom, and accrued, which basically means it will go from bottom to top. That is known as from subordinates to superior, request would be done, and if superior can take the task on behalf of subordinates, they will give the, do the output. Sideward delegation, a person delegates authority to another person who is also in the same rank as he is in the organization. So it is more kind of a peer to peer kind of delegation being given. So I also working for, say for example, marketing department, and Ramesh also working for marketing department. So if I am not available, I give my task or delegate my work to Ramesh. That is in a sideward delegation in the same organization structure, in the same kind of function. That is in a sideward delegation. So these are few different types of delegation which are done over a period of time, which we regularly see. You know guys, you all would be functioning in one of these delegations. You have to identify what kind of delegation you are being given task for, and accordingly give the output. Now, based upon these different types of delegation, it is not necessary always the delegation are accepted in the positive manner. Sometimes these delegation are also a little challenging. That is when we have got certain problems of delegation. So what are the problems of delegation? There are problems of delegation in two areas. First is hesitation on part of the superior. So superior, subordinate. Say for example, let us name superior is A and subordinate is C, A to C. So what is the problem A has got when delegation is concerned? So many superiors think that he is better than others. So superior thinks that I am better, so why should I delegate my work to C? Some superiors prefer to retain powers in their hand. Some superiors A feel that no, I will have the powers in my hand, I do not want to give the power to the C, or do not want to give the power to the subordinates. Many superiors lack the ability to direct the subordinates. At times it happens that the superior has got the power, but he has got no ability to direct that power to the subordinates, or he cannot train the lower level employees. He is good, he is super when it comes to himself, but when it has to give the task to, on behalf of him to someone else, he is not able to convert that particular task on behalf of himself to the others. Superiors also tend to show lack of confidence in subordinates. So they also believe that if I am going to give this task to subordinate, might as well they wouldn't be able to give the output, and which will make business vulnerable. It would be susceptible that they are not giving the output accordingly. This was the hesitation on part of the superiors. Let us see what is the hesitation on part of the subordinates. That is, like, what is the hesitation C has got with his boss, that is A. So they love spoon feeding, they want everything ready made given. Fear of criticism and fear of failure. So here C feels that if he does something, he'll be criticized. If he does something good for the company or whichever ways, he will be considered as a failure. He is not been able to give the output accordingly. So he is, might as well, since my salary is on, why should I take the pains to take up a new authority on me? Whatever it is been assigned, I will be doing that particular thing. That is what is the approach as far as the delegation is concerned to the subordinate. So that is why they hesitate to give any kind of extra efforts as far as the business is concerned. Next is known as decentralization. Everyone knows what is centralization, then I'll explain decentralization. So first I'll explain centralization. Centralization would be a concept wherein one branch or one business will have a centralized office. So let me give you an example. So there's a company known as CR Tires. You all would have heard about this company known as CR Tires. Now CR Tires has a headquarters in Mumbai, which, say for example, manufacturing plant across India in cities like one is in Chennai, another is in Delhi, and last one is in, say for example, Mumbai. So CR Tires has got three factories, one in Mumbai, one in Delhi, and one in, say for example, in Chennai. These are three factories. Now all these factories at regular intervals required raw materials to procure for manufacturing lot of goods. At that time, if the company is following centralized procurement method, then what will happen? The headquarters, which is in Mumbai, will purchase raw materials for all the three factories and then dispatch for all the three factories. That is known as centralized process. Got the point, everyone? Sure, great, superb. Now let us move to decentralization. In decentralization concept, the factories again are the same. One is in Mumbai, one is in Delhi, and one is in, Say for example, Chennai. Now, when there is a requirement for a raw material in Mumbai, Mumbai branch buys for Mumbai factory. If there is a requirement for Chennai, usually in centralization, Mumbai will procure and send it to Chennai. But under decentralization, Chennai will procure and use the things for the Chennai plant. Similarly, there is a requirement for Delhi. Delhi will purchase and use for the Delhi requirement. That is what is known as decentralization, which means they are given the autonomy to purchase the raw materials for their own self. There is a lot of advantage for this decentralization as well. And there are also advantages for the centralization as well. But in the whole story, the concept revolves around the game that decentralization is that you take care of your own activity, other person will take care of his own activity. So that is how decentralization functions. Let's see how decentralization functions theoretically. Decentralization means that each section has its own workers to perform activities within the department. So they will do the task on its own. There is no one going to interfere in this task. There will be no general office to provide these services. So there is no general office format ways. This will be done, then this will be done, then this will be done. No such kind of hierarchical functioning. Under decentralization, separate staff are allocated to each department for performing those activities which cannot be centralized. So under decentralization, there are a lot of activities which cannot be centralized or decentralized. Like example, purchasing is a decentralized function for a centralized company. That is, they'll purchase on their own, but they'll inform the headquarters that this is what they have purchased on behalf of this plant, which is located in Chennai. That is concept of decentralization. Advantage of decentralization is that saving of time, like from Mumbai all the way to go to Delhi or Chennai is going to be saving a lot of time. Greater efficiency and output, maintenance of secrecy and departmental loyalty takes place when it is decentralization. So they are all going to think about themselves and they will be giving output accordingly. Disadvantages of decentralization, no proper division of work. One department is functioning, so it is functioning the same thing. The biggest disadvantage of decentralization, there is duplication of work. Like in Mumbai, we have got purchase manager. In Chennai, we will require purchase manager. In Delhi, also will require purchase manager. So it's duplicating the work at those times. No standardization. Mumbai purchase manager's mindset for purchasing from Delhi and Chennai would be different than as compared to different cities. So there is no standardization and there is heavy expenditure because of doing this particular decentralization. So it has got both the situations and it functions in that particular manner. So from decentralization, now we move on to responsibility. So now responsibility is giving someone the task to achieve that particular format. So responsibility is the obligation to do something. So I'm obligated to do this particular task. In other words, responsibility is the obligation to perform the tasks, functions or assignments of the organization. Responsibility always arises from superior subordinate relationship. This is for a very true concept, that is responsibility arises because of superior subordinate relationship. Superior is giving the responsibility to the subordinate, and as per the responsibility given, the things needs to fall in place accordingly. This is what is known as superior subordinate relationship. Superior gives the responsibility to subordinate and wants the task to be taken up accordingly. The essence of responsibility is obligation. So the main theme of responsibility is that he is obligated to do this particular task. If a person is entrusted with any work, he should be held responsible for the work that he completes. So if he is been responsible, then he should be entrusted that he will do the work. If he has been given the responsibility, he should be trusted that he will definitely give the output. That is what responsibility actually falls in place or tries to cover up as far as the business is concerned. Now, the next most crucial important element of the business as far as delegation is concerned is span of management. Span of management means what? The area under which he is supposed to operate the business. Span of management means the number of people managed efficiently by a single officer in an organization. So how much number of employees which a single manager can operate in a given moment of time is known as span of management. Normally it says that around a team of 25 to 30 is kind of a team which the manager, if he operates, he will be able to give the output in the best possible manner. But then it depends upon individual skills, competencies and capabilities that he is able to get the work in best possible manner from this kind of a team or this kind of group. That is his own capabilities or competences. But usually 25 to 30 is a range wherein the employee or the superior can get the work done from its subordinates. It implies that a single executive should not be expected to give guidance to more people. So if single executive, if he is going to give a guidance to a lot of people, it's going to be very loadful for him. Only limited number of persons are allocated to executive for dividing the work or duties among the workers. In order to avoid overburden to the officers, it is essential to determine the span of control of executive officer. So to make sure that he can give the output, there has to be crafting proper domain area under which, or this is the area in which he will specifically focus and he will give the output accordingly. That is where we say that the span of management as much as possible for a superior should be limited so that he can give the output accordingly. If the span of management for superior, if it is huge, he wouldn't be able to give the output as per the requirements. That is where span of management functions. Now for making understanding of the span of management in the best possible manner, we have got Gregunius theory of span of management, which has got three different elements or components involved in it. The first is direct single relationship. Now under direct single relationship is one in which a superior has direct relationship with his subordinates individually. So here we can see if A as a supervisor has got subordinates B and C related to each other, there are two direct single relationship, like A been responsible with B and A responsible with C. That is known as direct single relationship. That is, he is responsible to him and he is responsible to him, or rather you can say B and C. So B is responsible to A and C is responsible to A. That is what is known as direct single relationship as far as the relationship is concerned for requirement of span of management. Now then there is a direct group relationship wherein there are few members involved in the team. In direct group relationship, a supervisor has a direct relationship with his subordinate jointly. Now for example, we can see over here in A to B and A to C, B would be having a relationship with A and C would be having a relationship with A. But there are chances also that when A and B are functioning or A and B are discussing the role, C would be present. When A and C are functioning, B would be present. This kind of relationship or area of operation is known as direct group relationship. Like here, A can consult B while C is present in the situation. In another situation, A can consult C while B is present. So A to B, C present, A to C, B present. That is known as direct group relationship, where all are working together, coming together for the output of the business. Then we have got lastly known as cross relationship. In cross relationship, a subordinate has relationship with its subordinates mutually. So say for example, B has got a team of 3-4 people. C has got a team of 3-4 people. So these 3-4 people reporting to C and these 3-4 people reporting to B. And they in turn reporting to A. It is known as cross relationships. So here the relationship prevailing between B and C is cross relationship. That is their relationship with them and their relationship with them. The number of direct and cross relationship increases geometrically as the number of subordinates under the supervisor increase. So under the supervisor, as and when the team of B or C increases, or they have got more subordinates like A, B, C, then D, E, F, G. So as and when more subordinates increases, then it is known as cross relationship functioning or span of management. So span of management is the area under which the delegation needs to be given and accordingly output could be given. So if in this particular chapter what we have seen so far, how the information is delegated, authorized, responsibility is given, power is given to that employee so that he gives the output in the given span of management. Now most of these delegation, which is very crucial, if not properly being followed, it would not give the output accordingly. So the information as far as delegation is concerned needs to be properly classified and given as per the requirement of the business. If there is no proper information sharing done by the superior to the subordinates, it would have a very tough task in the business. That is why delegation of authority is a crucial factor in as far as the business operation is concerned. I hope you all have understood this chapter to the fullest extent. That's all from my end, guys. Thank you.